the P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S. It's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S. It's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what? Yowie! What's up, Fudge Packers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. What a treat. The last show of our first season of Pure Boys, and we got a great one for you this week. I'm Adam, and also Urine.
And I'm Steve, and we got a big, juicy one for you this week. It couldn't get any bigger. This is basically the origin tale of this whole podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because this week we're talking about 2010's PureFlix original, David A.R. White directed, Holy Man Undercover. Like, I think the first movie he made himself.
Ooh. And he directed the crap out of it.
Ugh is right. That's the right response to it for sure. Ugh.
I think he did an amazing job. The fast shots, the quick cuts, production-wise and looks-wise, it's very early 2000s, kind of. Like, it's about a decade too old.
Well, that's what happens when you come from nothing to something, you know? And that's the David A.R. White story, reflected here in Holy Man Undercover.
I'm not saying he had some lost years doing cocaine, but he might have had some lost years doing cocaine.
He's certainly familiar with it. You know, 8-ball corner pocket, that never ends.
Wild swings in this movie. Huge wild swings.
Oh, yeah. But before we get too deep into all of the stuff we have to do on this show, we need to start with the Pure Boys prayer. God.
Squeeze them. God bless our podcast.
Don't tell me to squeeze them. I know how to squeeze them. God bless.
God bless all podcasts. I'm trying to be helpful. We love you.
And release. Ooh.
And release.
My pecs are sore for some reason.
Well, that's where your nipples are.
Are you watching TV right now? I can see television reflected in your sunglasses and it's moving around. Shut the TV off. Focus on the podcast. What are you doing?
Okay, I was going to warn you about this and see if it was okay, and then I just didn't. There's a big old curling match, and Northern Haiti, we love curling.
Shut it off. What are you... A big old curling match? Shut it off. We're talking about Holy
I'm
Man
not
Undercover.
Watching it.
Give the respect to David A.R. White's masterpiece that it deserves, please.
Okay, it's off. You can't see any more reflections.
Well, I can still see... your television's still on. I can still see it reflected in your glasses, but that's okay.
I
see it moving.
Light.
You need the light. That's fair.
Come on. You got to shine the light on down on this beautiful face.
Called out on his own podcast.
I thought it was appropriate.
This guy told me he's on ecstasy this morning, and I'm just blown away by it. I'm loving it. I think that it's a great way to cap off the first season of this show, and just a beautiful way to really represent God's values.
Well, I've never done it before, and I wanted to get on that E, ride that E train.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your favorite character from Entourage is E. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, he turned me on to E.
There you go. Good.
That's it.
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you that's really important. Uh-huh. Whomst was the Bagger Vance of Marriage Retreat?
I'm gonna have to give this one up to God. I think God was truly the Bagger Vance of the film. Adam, I have a question for you, and it might be similar to the question you asked me. In fact, it's exactly similar.
Oh.
Whomst, do you think was the Bagger Vance of Marriage Retreat?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for asking, Steve. I really appreciate it. I love your candor, and I love just you hit hard-hitting questions. You're not afraid to pull, you know, you don't pull any punches. You're not afraid to ask the hard questions, such as Whomst was the Bagger Vance of Marriage Retreat? And for me, it's tough to say because there were so many Bagger Vances in it, but if I had to guess, if I had to put my money down on one, I would have to say that Victoria Jackson's green cowboy boots were the Bagger Vances of Marriage Retreat. They were supportive. They carried her from place to place. They taught her how to play golf. They were ghosts. They were Will Smith. And that's about all I know about Bagger Vance, and it was represented perfectly in those green cowboy boots.
And they hurt her feet.
And most importantly, they hurt her feet, absolutely. Her little piggies, I guess. She probably calls her feet her little piggies. Seems like the kind of thing she would do.
You have to turn the volume up real loud when you're watching the movie, but she does say that quite often.
Dad, don't look at my little piggies! It's very good.
Man, you're just nailing that impression.
Thanks, man. I've watched hundreds of hours of Victoria Jackson at this point, so it's just in my head.
Oh, yeah. She's a part of our whole thing.
That's true. One day we will meet her, and then one day you will bed her. But we'll see when that happens.
I think what we said is perfect, but do you have a runner-up?
Oh, sorry, the segment's done.
It's done.
Yeah, right. Sorry. We only have 2 minutes and 10 seconds to get through it, and we got through it, so...
I just want to talk about things being the Bagger Vance just so often. I want to go runners-up. I want to go thirdsies. I just couldn't stop.
Well, one day we will do an entire award ceremony where we give out the Bagger Vance Award to all sorts of people and things in the Pure Flix universe.
Yeah, maybe even the biblical universe, which is our universe.
Well, of course, yeah. It's the universe that we live and exist in. Thank you very much, Jesus Christ, 6,000-year-old Earth.
Latter-day Saints, even you guys.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, do you remember being a kid and just seeing endless commercials for the Church of Latter-day Saints and being like, what the hell is this? What is the Church of Latter-day Saints? I have no idea. Aren't they like Jehovah's Witnesses or something?
I think they're close. I think they're in-betweens between the Jehovah's Witnesses and real Christians.
They're going to say Jehovah's Witnesses and people. Oh, they're right in between.
No. That's like MC Hammer or something.
We got to pray to make it through the day. That's the long and short of it. Yep, for sure.
That's the point I'm...
Hey, are you ready for everyone's favorite segment of the week?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
All right. So he had a couple of good ones. Real gushy ones to get out, but I have a tweet and a reply this week. So it's a real exciting day for me.
Yeah.
This is February 2nd, 2022 at 2:39 p.m. Better than a nooner. Ooh. But you're not getting high.
No.
So what's the point?
Exactly. It's right in between. You're dumping for yourself at that point, I guess.
Selfish. It's a selfish dump for sure.
It is, absolutely. Dump for the Lord, dump for ganja, or don't dump at all.
Or at the beginning of your day.
Sure, that's fine too.
I feel is the trifecta.
I mean, that's what I mean. That's what, when I say the Lord, I mean the start of your day. When you wake up, you see God's beautiful creation, you go, I want to take a big old steamy dump right in my toilet.
Yeah, you want to break your butt fast.
Yeah, exactly. You've been drinking nothing but bone broth. You want to break that butt fast.
Oh, that bone broth is so good for you. It gives you the real collagen you need to have good number twos.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what's Kevin's tweet?
Yeah, of course. Let's not delay any further. I'd like to go on Joe Rogan's podcast, .. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh,
it's gotta happen.
For sure, yeah, absolutely. I love that Kevin found out about the Joe Rogan podcast, aka The Truth, just like a couple weeks ago, and is already like, I wanna go on this show. I live in Texas. We found out up until like last year, he lived in California. So, just saying, Kev.
He's a man of means, by no means king of the road. So he should be on, Joe Rogan's podcast.
Hey, when
sure.
He tears open his shirt, he's got Rosie on his chest.
You mean like Roseanne Barr?
No, I mean like Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
queen. So what
she
was
watched the... her in A League of Their Own, and she yells a lot.
Oh.
Very good.
That's great. Anyway, yeah, go on. Oh, she's in Empire. That's why I was thinking about her. She's in Empire. She's great in Empire.
She's an Empire.
Yeah, she's got a little role in an episode in Empire. She plays one of Cookie's like old prison friends. It's awesome.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That's good to hear. Okay, I got this reply from Rev Dano. He actually said that the whole New Testament is made up and not verifiable, and said that there were other men named Jesus Christ at the same time as Christ walked the earth. Pretty ridiculous. But he's mostly right about the vaccines, spot on right about the mandate. Hashtag Joe Rogan.
Hashtag Joe Rogan. I was fully expecting a response from Joe Rogan, but instead we get one from the Reverend Donahue, or whatever his name was.
Rev Dano.
Paul
he's
Dano.
Cool.
Right. Is it Paul Dano's character from There Will Be Blood?
I don't believe so. I think it's Scott Aukerman in the skirt.
Oh, crap. I screwed this up. Well, anyway, that segment's done. Sorry.
Is that how that audio clip ends?
No, I accidentally hit the like scroll wheel on my mouse and it jumped it back to the start of the song. So, but we were in the danger zone. We were in that 30 seconds, the final 30 seconds of the song. So we had to, you didn't say, I was just about to get my finger up to start twirling, but I hit the button instead. So,
well, you hit the button instead and we can move on.
Oh, absolutely. Beautiful tweet as always, Kev. We love you, and we love your stance on everything. And just keep doing the Lord's work, you know?
Well, I hope he tweets shut up at some moment, because that would be great.
Oh, man. If we did that, if we got a tweet like that from Kevin, we could just end the segment after that. It's not going to get better from there. It's just going to be him saying shut up, and then, okay, great. That's all we need from you, Kev. Thanks very much.
It is all we would need, but it's the only thing that people ever tell me is good about this show. So I don't think we can lose this.
I thought you meant just how often we say shut up.
Oh, well, they love that too. Shut up.
Shut up. Listeners, shut up. Kevin, shut down. No.
Well, I think let's go, let's God, and shut up.
Let's go, let's God. Shut up. It's time for Holy Man Undercover 2010. PureFlix has still not taken into consideration my suggestion of putting the year next to the titles on their page, on their website, but maybe one day I won't have to look all this stuff up on my own. Maybe they'll just help me out a little bit here. But
did you tweet that at them?
Yeah, I tweeted at them all the time.
What about TikTok? Do they got a TikTok?
Ooh, I don't know. I bet David A.R. White has a TikTok. Actually, I guarantee he has a TikTok. I'm pretty sure I've seen TikToks reposted on his Instagram. We are borderline stalking these people. we follow him on everything, except for TikTok, I guess, because we don't have that.
Well, we have a fascination with what he's done with his life and what he's provided to mankind and Christian kind.
Absolutely. And this movie that we're about to talk about fills in a lot of the gaps and answers a lot of the questions about what it was like going to Hollywood as David. Oh, crap. I had his middle name. I found out what AR stands for, but now I've lost it here.
Well, I'll vamp, because this is truly an origin tale of what happened to David A.R. White and how he started his Hollywood career, which blossomed directly into PureFlix.
David Andrew Roy White.
Oh, it's not Andrew Dice Clay.
That would have been better if his name was David Andrew Dice Clay White. That would have been preferred.
Well, the R is silent. You can put any letters in you want.
Absolutely. The R is the letter that you see when you write his name, but the R stands for Dice Clay.
Can you give that name to me one more time?
David Andrew Dice Clay White.
Okay.
Andrew Roy is the AR in David A.R. White.
Andrew Roy. Okay. Andrew Waugh, if you're being Haitian about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or, as you might know him at the start of this movie, I am Satan, he yells. So you can just call him Satan if you want.
Can you believe that he had the balls to play Satan in a Christian movie? He's really pushing barriers right away.
Bro, this movie is kind of wild. Like, looking at it, mm-hmm. there's like, him yelling that he's Satan. There's cocaine in this movie. There's shots of, like, Andrea Logan White where, like, she's in a tanning bed and the camera cuts off, like, right above her nipples. And you're like, David, this movie is spicy, bro. What are you doing? Not godly at all.
Well, I feel like this was his ode to 20-something angst, coming-of-age type tale.
Mm.
Like, there's, it's like a Happy Madison type production, but Christian.
I wish it was. Wow. Actually, when you put it like that, that's kind of a mind-blowing comparison. David A.R. White is the Adam Sandler of the Christian cinematic universe. He's got his Happy Madison players. He's got his Rob Schneider and Brad Heller. He's got his Kevin James.
Goofy origins that turn into serious action later on.
Exactly. Wow, that is a really astute observation for a guy on ecstasy. I'm really impressed, man. Good on ya.
I'm rolling hard, but I'm trying to keep it straight.
I know, you got your sunglasses on inside, so I can't see your bloodshot eyes, and you're chugging bone broth and water, one in each hand. And
man, I wish I had some bone broth. You're being very nice about the situation, but I do not have bone broth today.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. If I had some bone to give you, I would give it to you.
Where does one pick up bone broth in Haiti? I had to get it shipped in from Asia.
Ooh, I don't know. Probably just buy a chicken and then boil its bones down to make your bread.
Yeah, do you burn it?
No, you boil it.
But I don't want all the, like, the stuff. I just want the bone.
Yeah, you strain that out. Look, on this week's cooking segment, we're talking to you about how to make bone broth. You start off, get yourself a nice, get, like, two roast chickens from your local grocery store. Eat the meat off
roasted
those chickens.
Chicken?
But you don't have to clear the bones entirely. There can be some gristle and a little bit of meat left on. You throw those carcasses into a pot with some water. Maybe, if you want the bone broth, I don't know what the hell you're going to do. But if you want to make a soup broth, you throw some vegetables in there and you boil that sucker for like 5 hours. And then you take a nice strainer and you strain out all the big bits out of there. And you got yourself a delicious broth that you can use for anything after that.
Okay. I just don't know where you grind the bones.
You don't have to grind. Listen to me.
I want,
you just have to boil them. It'll suck
I
that marrow
bone
right
broth,
out. You can have
not
it.
Meat broth.
It sucks the marrow right out of it.
I don't think it do.
Well, who knows how to make broth here? Put up your hand if you know how to make broth. Oh, look, only my hand is. No, you don't. Put your hand down. My hand is raised.
But you're teaching me how to make normal, regular, dumb broth.
But
I want to get bone broth.
But you don't know how to make it yet. You've heard me say it, but tell me the steps back. You couldn't do it, I'd wager.
I can make a broth that'll make your head spin and a gravy that'll make your legs quake.
Well, that's all I'm after, is a nice thick gravy that'll make my legs quake.
Oh, thank goodness.
Will it put some
hair
on my chest?
Did I love this movie?
Oh, did you love this movie? I don't know. You asked that.
No, not really. It was kind of a bad movie, but I loved it for its peek into early life as David A.R. White.
Yeah, it's a... Wow, there is so much in this movie. So many people that we know and love who haven't aged a day from 2010. There's just... The only person literally missing from this movie is Reggie himself. But, like, everyone else you'd expect to see in a PureFlix production is there, including some extra people, like Fred Willard. Amazing. How did he get in this? Money.
Money, yeah, he definitely took the money. I think they kind of wasted him, though. Like, they don't give him a lot of meat on those bones.
Hey, well, they boiled it off too. They boiled it off too soon. I do agree with you. I love, like, obviously Fred Willard is like a comedy legend. He's amazing, but he's wasted in this movie. The one scene where he's got the guns and he's waving those around is kind of funny, but other than that, he's just kind of like a straight man. And I go, well, that's, I guess Fred Willard's comedy is kind of like straight man saying absurd things, but it just, they don't give him enough absurd things to say in this. So disappointing use of a great comedian.
Yeah, he does play straight man sometimes, but then he has the turn that makes it utterly ridiculous and funny. You give him that extra like 15 seconds of like whatever he wants to say, and you're gonna probably get some gold.
Yeah, you get that hot erm out of him, essentially.
And Jennifer Lyons or Leons?
Oh, Malibu Dan's dad's girlfriend, his slam piece that he's not slamming, I guess.
Yeah, she is the slam piece, the regular slam piece in this one, not even a father slam piece.
No, she's straight up David's slam piece in this movie. It's weird knowing the relationship that all these people have, and then watching scenes where Tiffany, a.k.a. David or Malibu Dan's dad's slam piece, is just like giving David A. R. White a lap dance and making out with them all in front of his real life wife, Andrea Logan. It's just like this weird, I don't know. It's like uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. And we're doing No Nut February and we're not allowed to have boners for God. It's really hard watching this film without all the eroticism and the cucking.
That's what I'm saying. We get that tanning shot of Andrea, and you're like, God, what? No, what am I supposed to do?
I was groaning a lot during this movie, for sure.
I get it. Hey, here's a fun tidbit about this movie. There are 4.5 good jokes in it, and I got them all written down, but there's 4.5 jokes that made me laugh.
Yeah, I laughed earnestly a couple of times.
How does Ernest laugh? I burn. Probably something like that, eh?
Yeah, ba-cock-a-cock. It's a lot like a chicken.
Right, that's the thing they don't tell you about Ernest, is he was a bunch of chickens stacked up inside of a pair of coveralls.
Man, chickens getting a lot of play in this episode. Big ups, chickens.
Hey, big ups, chickens. Here at Pure Boys Podcast, we just want to take a moment to say big up chickens of all stars and stripes.
Mm-hmm. You make that broth, you make that comedy, you got everything.
Hey, thank you for your eggs. Thank you for your unfertilized
eggs.
Oh, yeah,
we haven't even brought up eggs!
We haven't even gotten to the eggs yet! Hey, one of the first things in this movie that ticked me off. So David A.R. White is an Amish boy growing up on Amish land, whatever that would be.
Mennonite.
No, he's Amish in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. He says that he's Amish in it. So maybe, I think he was actually raised Mennonite, like David A. White was actually Mennonite. But yeah, because the Mennonites make the Amish look like the Hell's Angels or whatever the hell he said in Run On, something like that. But
yeah, this Amish appealed to more people back then. There were like quite a few Amish comedies up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There was...
Kingpin?
Yeah, sure. There's that Son-in-Law? Is that a... Was he Amish in that or just a farm
folk? The Son-in-Law? Yeah.
There was the Tim Allen...
Travel Trip?
The Tim Allen Kirstie Alley movie?
Mm-hmm. Back on the Farm?
Sure, whatever. Basically, we could talk for hours about all the different Amish movies that existed out there, but today we're talking about this one, Holy Man Undercover. The thing that ticked me off right at the very start, though, is we see David A. R. White walking around Amish country, and he goes, I grew up in Amish country. He's really playing the violin, which is pretty impressive. And again, a through line throughout David's career is him showing off the violin, playing the violin. We're not doing an Amish month. I'm so sorry. Don't send me that. We're not doing an Amish month. I'm putting my foot down. We already have the rest of the year planned out.
Eventually, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I don't disagree. I think you're right. Yeah, just not 2022. 2023,
oh, no.
New Year, New P, Amish month.
We're booked up to the brim.
Well, exactly, right? So, but the thing that I'm trying to get at is that and it's not even going to be worth it now, jeez, but there's a woman walking around Amish country with bright purple streaks in her hair, and I'm like, burn that woman at the stake. What is she do? Where did she get the hair dye, first of all? Second of all, that is so ungodly of them. Just, who do you think we are, not thinking that we'd catch a woman with purple hair in Amish country? That's crazy, David. See? Not worth it.
Very worth it. How dumb do you think we are to think that like somebody in Amish country is dyeing their hair purple and streaks no less?
Ugh.
Like it at least dye her whole head.
Right? Yeah, dye her face and her eyes and everything purple. Tattoo her eyes.
Alien Amish.
Hey, That's my favorite post-punk band of the early 2000s.
It's not bad.
It's not
Amish
bad.
Alien may be better.
No, I like Alien Amish.
Yeah, it's more cumbersome.
Well, it flows a little better, too. So, and those words, yeah. that's the order those words would be listed alphabetically, so.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You got to go with alphabetical.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you like when the Japanese tourists roll up to watch him milk a cow, and one of them goes, "Oh, Gojira!" And you go, "Ah."
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
Rook Godzilla.
Exactly. And all the tourists are pulling their eyes back, and you're like, David, don't do this. This is offensive, David. Don't do this in your directorial debut. But he already did.
It's such a weird joke to make in 2010. Like, maybe 1970 that would play and get a huge laugh in the theater.
I mean, when did Austin Powers and Goldmember came out? Because that's the last Japanese person yelling Godzilla joke that I think worked.
Well, it was making fun of the joke, and it was a real, you know, subversive joke.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It dissected the comedy of it perfectly, and it basically shut the door on those kind of jokes and said, we don't need to make these anymore. We've already done it perfectly in Austin Powers in Goldmember. Are you looking it up right now? Please tell me you are.
2002 film.
Oh, well, there you go. So David Ayer White's 8 years late to the party. Classic.
Just aggressive racism.
I know, right? It's bizarre. But you know what? You know why I think that's in here? Because this movie was not... it was not written by Tommy Blaze. And that's the thing, is like, everyone else from the family is there, but not Tommy Blaze. And it shows in this movie. You need the Blaze man to tighten it up and to make it sing, essentially, right? But... he's missing. We miss him.
Well, famous anti-racist Tommy Blaze definitely was needed throughout this movie. You're absolutely right. You can see that he tightens up these scripts, even if David A.R. White writes them, or is, you know, Reggie probably gets in the room once in a while and throws down a couple of jokes because he's so hot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he barges his way in, and they let him because he's hot, and it's fine. And we'd let him, too. It's fine.
Well, he's hot.
He's not. So it's Rumspringa, and that's when it's a real thing, when Amish people, when they turn 18, they go out into the world for a year and get their danguses wet and then realize, oh, religion's dumb. I want to, like, party and smoke weed and, like, watch a movie. That sounds cool. So they never come back. Or sometimes they do. I don't know.
Or you go back because you never want to have to, you know, pay bills or do taxes or all the dumb stuff that comes along in regular society. You just get to go home and frick all your cousins.
It is wild to think that they just live in, like, a fantasy world where they're just, like, completely separated from society and just like, yeah, we don't do anything here. What are you talking about? We milk cows, we build barns, we frick our cousins, and we pray.
They do some hard physical labor, they give it all up to God, and then they go to bed without watching TV or talking on the phone all night.
Ugh, could you imagine? Could you imagine not spending hours of your day staring at your phone? What a boring existence that would be. You would miss so many updates. You'd miss so much updates.
Yeah, the sky basically looks the same every night, and you're just staring off into the pink glow of it.
Hey, we get to the first decent joke in this movie in the Rumspringer party scene. There's one of the fiddlers in the Gene Butler band is like freaking out, and David's like, oh, he's going off again, and he like can't fiddle, and he's like, I can't, he's like freaking out, he's his old man, and his mom says, oh, well, that's blah blah blah, he went off to Woodstock for his Rumspringer and he never really came home. And I went, that's a decent joke. That's not a bad joke, David. I'll give you that one. That's a good one.
It's a thinker. That's for sure.
It is, absolutely. You know who else is a thinker? The deaf giant who's in this movie. Did you see him? Did you recognize him?
No, I didn't see anybody who was deaf during this whole movie.
Well, he might not have been deaf but he's certainly deaf when we met him as the giant bunny man in Hitting the Brakes.
Oh yeah, he's like the secondary bunny man,
he's
right?
The second bunny man. Yeah. I don't know if this is his real name. If it is, that would be insane. But in the credits, he's listed as Tiny. Like, that's his character name and his real name, according to the credits. Also, he plays exclusively characters named Tiny in Pure Flix Originals. His name in Hitting the Brakes is Tiny. His name in this movie is Tiny. And his name in Brother White, which we haven't watched yet, is also Tiny. So, It's cool.
You mean he's not in Sons of Thunder?
No, he's not according to his IMDb, which is like bizarre, but maybe he's just like old and he just can't do it anymore, which fair enough.
Maybe he's just too big for a motorcycle. Like, you would have to make him a motorcycle.
Right, you'd have to paint his body silver. Yeah, of course.
That's so, the color that stands out to you when you think of a motorcycle, silver?
Yeah, of course. Chrome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Oh, geez, are we doing the Beverlys right now? I keep hearing motorcycles in my head.
I have been singing the Beverly song in my head the last couple of days.
Which one?
And it's getting to me.
Which one? The Beverlys or Listen Up, This Is Our Story.
This is our story. We are the Royal Beverlys.
Yeah, the Royal Beverlys.
That's what I've been singing to myself.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So we find out that David thinks that he's turning 18, but, like, he's an old man in this movie, and it turns out that his mom has been lying to him all of his life and, like, delaying his, like, 18th birthday so he wouldn't go on Rumspringa because her brother left for Rumspringa and never came back. But then turns out he's actually 28 years old, and he figures out that he was, like, wearing diapers when he was, like, 8, and also sucking on his mom's boobies when he was much older than he should be doing that. So that's a pretty shocking, horrible thing to find out.
I think it's lovely, but he does have a good puke about it, and he reacts completely normally to finding out that he was sucking on his mom's boobs up until 8 or 9. Do you think that's, like, a common thing on the farm? On the Amish country, is just sucking on your mom's boobies until way too late?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Milk of your mother, of course. You milk the cow, you milk your ma. The kids get the milk, the adults get the milk, you know?
And she's just, like, constantly ready to go because she's constantly having babies.
Right.
She's got milk to spare is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, female listeners of this show, of which there are none, as long as there's someone sucking, the milk is gonna be there, right? Like, that doesn't, maybe that goes away after a period of time, but it's like a supply. As long as there's a demand, there's a supply, you know? Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I think there needs to be a hormonal change that's kicked off by the sperm going into the egg.
Hey, well, now we're talking. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm more than willing to... I mean, I stopped sucking on them, you know, at the appropriate time. Age 10, 11, something like... Somewhere in there. I don't know. What do I know?
Hey, mentally, I've never stopped.
Hey, amen to that, brother. Amen to that. So, Malibu Dan's off to Hollyweird to spread the word of God. And also to meet his uncle, who lives there. That's his connect, I guess.
I love getting shots of real LA, of real Hollywood, you know? Like, seeing the streets and the characters that make up this glorious country.
Yeah, getting footage of real homeless people suffering on the streets to put in your wacky comedy movie is a real classy move, David. I appreciate that.
And in-betweens, too. Just random people that probably didn't get... the rights.
No, definitely not.
For putting their face in this movie.
No, because, like, the footage is, like, taken from a moving vehicle, so there's no way they were like, oh, we gotta stop and ask those people if we can use their footage in this. Nah, they just filmed it and moved on, and those people weren't gonna see this movie. They live in Hollyweird, the satanic butthole of America, so no one's gonna watch Holy Man Undercover.
Oh, no, they're probably watching the first X-Men movie or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what happens when you strike a toad with lightning? Same thing as everything else, you know?
Spare a latte.
Oh, I love it. Real biting humor, David.
Yeah. Commentary, and I love it. Mm-hmm. You're really showing us L.A.,
Oh, yeah. So the homeless people, the fake homeless people that they dirty up to be in this scene are basically zombies that are, like, chasing David trying to get his money, and he's running away when, out of nowhere, a car comes whipping around the corner way too fast and completely spins out, and they went, well, we can't do another take of that, so we'll just use that take, I guess.
Keep going. Keep it not rolling. Wrap it up. Keep going.
Keep going. And then that car screeches to a halt, and wouldn't you know it, a guy who looks just like David A.R. White, except with a bad fake mustache and a fake curly afro wig, yells, "Come on!" And they get in the car and take off.
Just to paint a picture for our listeners, David A.R. White plays the uncle role, and he makes the decision to go full pepperoni salami on this guy. Like, very thin handlebar mustache, you got your curly wig, and he is pepperoni salami all over the place.
He's half parrot, half man in this movie. He is screaming. We do get a signature David A.R. White, "Come on," but it's in a different context. It's not him being like, "Come on." It's him being like, "Come on." So a little bit different, but still, that's showing range. And that's what I love about David, is he's got big range.
It's a little bit more Mediterranean. Puts a little bit more stank on it.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and his character is swarthy as all hell. You said he's got a curly wig on top. He's probably also got a curly wig below, you know?
Oh, yeah, he definitely got an extra wig to put in his pants. Really to feel the pepperoni salami.
Of course, yeah.
And that's method.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, scenes of him smoking. Do you think David A.R. White smokes?
Yeah. I think he did a lot of bad things during his 20s.
Him and Tommy Blaze just painting the town red and painting wives white, you know?
Yeah, before they found God. Like, they were with God before, but then they found him.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly, yeah. And again, much like the journey of Holy Man Undercover. We get the second pretty decent joke in this movie. David's in the car with his Uncle Brian, also played by David, and they're having a back and forth talking about, you know, Hollyweird and all that. And, like, David is just clueless because he's an Amish boy, right, who's 28 years old and just finished sucking on his mom's boobs. And so he's just asking so many questions about Hollyweird. At one point he says, "Who's Tom Cruise?" And Brian, his uncle, goes, "Don't talk to me right now." And that made me laugh pretty hard because they'd just been talking back and forth. And to just go, "Don't talk to me right now," in the middle of a conversation is pretty funny to me.
I had that written down too. That was very funny. "Don't talk to me right now."
Might be the best joke
just
in the movie.
Very blatant.
Yep. "You've been talking to me this good whole joke. Time, but now don't talk to me anymore. Not until we get to my apartment that's filled with guns and grenades and mortar shells and all kinds of weapons of mass destruction."
Oh, yeah. His apartment is, what a piece of art that is.
Oh, yeah. There's a traffic light in the bathroom. That's LA for you.
Well, you're out there doing auditions. You're hustling for every dollar you earn. You're doing cocaine when you get home. You don't have time to clean up or make a proper meal.
Mm-mm. No, you're prepping for doomsday, baby.
Yeah, you're getting your condoms. You're living large.
Absolutely. You're getting arrested. Even though you're convinced the world's coming to an end, you don't mind spending that time in jail, I guess, because you get out of jail, you go right back into jail because you got your husband in there, beef. Oh, there you go. He froze for a second. I was worried I lost
him. Oh, man, beef.
We'll get to beef, I guess. He's in one scene.
It's a weird turn for the movie.
Yeah, it's it's bizarre. Yeah, I think the most, like, shocking thing to me is that they let a prisoner have a lighter. That seems like a huge oversight on the jail's part, but what do I know?
Well, again, I think this is movie is about 20 years too late because, I mean, certainly in the 80s, you could have a lighter in a prison cell.
Certainly, absolutely. But not in the 2010s? No way, that's post-9/11. Any terrorist
could
be in jail. No,
there's too much media.
Exactly. No way you're allowed a lighter. Brian, a.k.a. David A.R. White, takes David A.R. White out for a tour of the city to show him the sights, to take him to a cattle call, an audition. And
a cattle call?
Come on, cattle call? On the way to the audition, though, they're stopped at a red light, and there's a crazy man across the street wearing a sign that says, like, "Jesus loves you," and he's yelling and screaming about Jesus and being like, "Jesus loves you, Jesus loves L.A., he loves everybody here." And they're both like, "That guy's wackadoo, hey, he's out of his mind." Remember that, listeners. It comes back later. Remember that, okay? Crazy guy yelling about Jesus on the street. Remember it.
I am going to tell you to forget about it. It doesn't play a fact into the end of the movie at all.
Don't listen to Steve.
Forget it.
Don't listen. He's wrong. It does. It's important. and we need to remember it.
He is naked, though.
Oh, yeah, he is. it's interesting, that's for sure. His hot dog's out.
He uses
sure.
signs for clothing. It's crazy.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's better than clothes.
Well, you get terrible tan lines if you wear signs as clothes, but, you know, you're probably going to get freaking laid, so who cares?
Yeah, just tell ladies it's European or men, and then frick them.
Oh, man. Hey, men, if it's very European, you know?
Ah, it's European.
Hey, this dinger, it's European. Don't even worry about it. So we get to the cattle call, and my jaw drops at the level of talent we see at this cattle call. Coming down the stairs in front of all the people waiting to audition are the executives, the people running this audition. We've got Holiday Sinclair right up front, running down the stairs. Andrea Logan White. We've got Chuck from Accounting. I'm blown away already. I'm like, I can't believe Chuck from Accounting is here. There's no way it's going to get
already
better
nuts.
Than this. I got Irm all over me. There's no way it's going to get better than this. But sure enough, at the top of the stairs, we get the saddest man in Hollyweird, Darlin' Arlen himself, the only one of these actors who doesn't have a picture on his IMDb page, Brad Heller. I loved it.
Yeah, got took over by Tommy Blaze eventually, obviously. But he still has a part to play in David A.R. White's world. And this is the scene that made me relax, because I really pushed this movie, and I was very nervous that it was going to be terrible and not fun to talk about at the end of our year. But then when I saw these three beauties coming down the stairwell, I knew I was in heaven.
Yeah, we're doing this live from heaven. We both died during this scene, and our souls ascended. God flipped our kill switch, and we were able to die, and thankfully, we died of a heart too full. And what better gift could there be than that?
We're gonna come back. Maybe it's somebody else, but we're in heaven for a little while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. David stops a robbery. Someone tries to, like, mug Annie Logan, played by Andrea Logan. Like, lazy. Just try a little harder, guys. Jeez, but fine, whatever. This guy tries to rob her. David A.R. White talks him off and takes his gun from him, but then is, like, casually waving the gun around with his finger on the trigger. I've never shot a gun in my life. I know you're not supposed to put your finger on the trigger unless you're ready to shoot it. You grew up on a farm, David. What are you doing?
Do you think the Amish have weaponry?
I mean, they definitely have, like, hatchets and axes and stuff. Guns? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they don't.
Is that a machine, technically, or not? Did they just, like, go, let's get guns?
I mean, is a banjo a machine?
Kinda.
Hey, asking the real questions here. Is a banjo a machine?
I don't think there's enough moving parts, because when you're talking about machines,
yeah.
I'm talking about clickety-clackety moving metal parts. With a banjo, you're just kind of vibrating strings.
Right, you're plucking.
There's
blockety.
No metal parts, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
With a gun, you got to turn the thing and the bullet and the clamping and explosions.
And the boom! Of a gun, you know.
Anyways, it's great to see him playing with a gun finally.
Oh yeah, it's great to see the beginnings of Beckman right here on screen. The gun that launched 1,000 Beckmans, you know.
Guns are fun.
Guns are fun, especially when you accidentally discharge one right into the air and then put the hot gun right into the front of your pants and go, that's where it'll stay. Yeah.
Well, you want to warm up your dinger after you just, like, ermed all over the place by shooting a gun, because that is, like, the manliest thing you could ever do is shoot a metal object fast.
Oh, yeah. That's why people yell, I'm gonna shoot, when they, like, when they're about to climax, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. David A.R. White and David A.R. White. Oh, Andrea Logan gives him her card and is like, thanks for saving my life. Maybe you could be the star of our TV show. Maybe. Bye. Chuck, get his information. Bye. And she leaves. And so the two David A.R. Whites, they head off into the sunset when Cokehead David A.R. White's like, hey, I got to go buy some coke from these Chicanos. Is that cool? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. And then they get arrested. Boop. Oh, well.
Yeah, very racist Mexican gangsters again, going for the full full Monty, if you will.
Oh, yeah. And that, like, one of the guys is not Mexican. Like, one of the guys looks Latinx, but one of the guys is just, like, Brad Heller with a shaved head. So, I have my
doubts. Yeah, they look very normcore.
Oh, yeah, they look like they're office workers. At least get, like, Luis Guzman or something like that to be in this movie.
In 2010, you gotta expect that you could get Luis Guzman on set for, like, a day.
For half a day. All he has to do is say hello, what kind of car wash do you want, then sit in the back seat and get arrested. That's easy. Luis Guzman could do that in his sleep.
It might have been the goo, because the joke during this is that they're not able to roll up the windows, and they got car wash all over them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you can buy, like, a thimble of Coke for $100, apparently, which, having never bought or done Coke before, I don't know if that's a good deal or not. It doesn't seem like a very good deal, but what do I know?
I'd say there was about, like, 6 good lines, and that's like a day worth of cocaine, I would assume.
Well, based on how many lines, like, Uncle Roy or Uncle Brian has laid out in his house, yeah, I guess that's his day's worth. That's his morning's worth, yeah. Anyway.
They make a lot of cocaine, and it makes me think that they love cocaine.
Who?
David A.R. White and Jennifer Lyons.
Well, where do you think he met Tommy Blaze?
At the Coke Shack.
8-ball corner pocket. Tommy Blaze was running a car wash where you sit in the back seat, yeah, and you slang Coke while your car is getting washed, which, not a terrible idea for a, like, how to slang Coke. I mean, it's not a great idea because you have to, like, get into the car and everything, but at the end of the day, it's kind of clever.
Well, I think that's what, like, car wash was about, was them slanging weed during the car wash. Am I wrong about that? Am I being racist?
I haven't seen Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre's Car Wash. I haven't seen that movie, surprisingly.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
I'll have to watch it. Maybe we'll do a whole episode about it. Probably not.
Car Wash Month.
Car Wash Month. Right after Lawnmower Man Month.
Never.
Everyone's in jail, but Andrea Logan White comes and gets David A.R. White out of jail. Amish David A.R. White, not cokehead David A.R. White. That guy stays in jail. Nobody posts his bail. That guy's on his own. Nobody's coming for him.
Oh, he's done.
Oh, yeah, he's done.
Even when David A.R. White gets some money, he still doesn't bail out his uncle.
No,
uncle's happy then.
Yeah, but he does bail him out, but uncle just goes right back into jail because he misses beef. So the first time David A.R. White goes to visit his uncle in jail, we get treated to, I was like giddy when I heard this song. They show the jail, and all we hear in the soundtrack is keep it on lanes with mama, wish I listened to you. And I went, Malibu Dan. I said, is that Gene Autry?
I squealed like a little kid. I was so giddy with joy when I heard this song, and I've just been mumbling, wishing about you all night.
I can't believe they got Bobby Lee Wilson / Gene Autry, the famous fiddle diddler. I can't believe they got him to give his music to this movie, and then for Malibu Dan as well. Mama, wish I listened to you.
Maybe it was a cocaine friendship.
Maybe it's a cocaine friendship. Maybe. I don't know. I know Gene Autry's been dead for 20 years at that point. He had not been alive for quite a while when this movie was made, so I guess that's got to be Bobby Lee Wilson then.
I guess, yeah. There's definitely a lot of close-knit ties between the country community and David A.R. White.
And cocaine.
And cocaine.
Andrea invites David A.R. White on a date? Their romance makes zero sense in this movie. Like, they don't really have chemistry together, even though I think they were, like, married at this point. B, why does she fall in love with this guy? He's not even that handsome. He's got terrible bangs.
I think that's what they're kind of going for by her being into cruelty and being into, being a producer and crapping on people and success. And he's, you know, the lovable farm boy. And they shouldn't get in together, but for some reason, they just want to be on each other.
Hey, who wouldn't want to be on either of them, you know?
I don't know. I don't know if I find Andrea Logan attractive.
Yeah, I don't know.
David Ayer White, I get. I mean, 100%. Get that meat.
Yeah, of course. He's got those bangs that are beautiful, and just he can't. My favorite thing about David's hair in this movie is he just can't decide what to do with those bangs. Sometimes he parts them in the middle, and that looks not bad. Sometimes they just hang down into his eyes, and that looks really bad. And I don't understand why nobody went, change your haircut, man. Do a different haircut. Figure some, like, at least flip your, grease your bangs up. Like, frost your tips and grease them up like the early 2000s.
Well, he should have gone that way for sure, but everybody was scared because they saw the potential in the Pureflix media group.
Well, of course, and you can't have some frosted tip surf bra as the head of your Christian film company. That just, no investors are going to get behind a guy like that.
No, he had to look real Amish, real all the time.
Absolutely. And you know who else is living their character in this movie? Why, it's Fat Scott Aukerman, the French, maybe German restaurant owner.
I was pretty good when he came on the screen. They let him fully act.
Oh yeah, he really just goes for it. Like the first scene he's in, I went, okay, the French restaurant owner, and then he screams the word nein, and I went, oh, I guess he's German. Well, that's a bad German accent then. That's not, you work on it. But hey, he's given it his all, and I appreciate that.
I think he's just trying to go Mediterranean. He's trying to pick from all sorts of Western European nations.
That's fair. He's calling people comrade. He's saying Achtung, baby. He loves you too. He's calling people bumbaclots. He's everywhere. He's all over the map. We don't know who this
guy is.
Good day, mate. Oh, Godzilla. He's all over the place. We don't know who this guy is.
I think he should have gone Australian. Australian in L.A. in the 2010s? Wacky.
Wow. What do we live in, Banff? What are these guys doing here?
They're all over Bam.
Oh, yeah.
Asian Bam.
It's such a pleasure to see Fat Scott Aukerman, though. Like, this show is making me just love all of these actors. Anytime they show up, and they're all in the same stuff. And I gotta hand it to David. Like, he keeps his friends close. He's always got a job for his buddies. And he's built his friends' careers. And I kind of respect him for that. I'm like, good on you for, like, keeping these people employed, because they wouldn't be without you. So, very proud of him for that. He's a good man, David A.R. White.
It also seems like they're pretty happy. They're having fun on set. They're doing this weird indie comedy together and probably getting tanked every night and discussing the Heller method as often as possible.
Yeah, and discussing how to get your picture on your IMDb page, and no one can help them. Sorry, Brad Heller. It's been 30 years. You'd think you'd have one picture on there at some point. Do you want work or not? I guess he doesn't need it because he's got David.
Nah, and he's got all these group of people paying him a billy for acting classes.
We need to start a Patreon so that people can give us money, and then we can fly to LA and take the Heller method. Like, take a course from Brad Heller and then report back on it on the podcast. It's all I want. I just want to meet Brad Heller and learn from him.
Yeah, and just be steeped into the actor's mind and how he portrays art on film in a Christian light.
Exactly. Like, how do you bring your faith to life? How do you stop being a holy man undercover and start being a holy man on the covers of DVDs, I would assume?
That should be the title for David A.R. White's autobiography or biography that we write.
Just pointing an arrow at him saying, holy man on the cover.
Wink, get it?
Hey. I'm being completely honest and sincere when I say this. I want to be in these movies. I want to get into the circle that Chuck lives in and Reggie and Darlin Arlen. I want to get in that crew and become a part of the Pureflix family. And obviously this show probably isn't going to get us there, but, or maybe it will. I don't know. I don't want to close any doors. But I sincerely want to be in one of these movies and join the crew. I don't know how we get there, but God will provide. And that's the great thing about God.
Well, the first thing first is that we have to find God. So check.
Hey,
I think we both have let God into our lives quite immensely over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so check on that front.
Absolutely.
Now we got to turn in and devote our lives to God. That's, I think, the step we're in.
And by do and by that you mean fly to LA, take a Brad a Heller method course and meet these people and then rub elbows with them and then, I don't know, pay them $1,000 to let us in their movie or something.
I think we need cocaine. I think that's our key.
Well, here's the thing. It was day one of the Heller method class. We walk in and go, 8-ball corner pocket. And from
and they get it, obviously. Yeah,
from behind the stage, Tommy Blaze trips over his own feet running out to get to us. So then we're in. Just it's easy.
Arms wide open. And then we also have cocaine? Yes.
Well, hey, we go fish around in that pocket and you'll find something for you in there.
That's when you put your hands up and like wiggle your hips very slowly. Just a little tease, you know. That you can't just give them the whole bone broth. You got to let them boil it first.
Hey, that's I think that's from the Bible. You can't just give them the whole bone broth. You got to let them boil it first.
That's something, right?
Yeah, that's definitely something. Hey, what do you think Med School Confidential was about?
I don't know. The names of the shows that they come up with are funny to them, I guess, but, like, I have no context for what they're talking about.
Well, okay, so Annie Logan, played by Andrea Logan, she's a famous film producer who got her start, her big break, on a show called Med School Confidential. And what that show was about, according to her, when she's on the date with David Ayer White, is that it was a reality show where med students at Harvard Medical were vying for the attention of their supermodel teacher, played by Malu Dan's dad, Slam Piece.
Uh-huh.
Then, in the finale, they switched out a cadaver with the mayor of Boston, and then she dissected his intestines, and then the FBI busted in and arrested her, but she was not aware that that was going to happen. So, this dating show ended with the murder of the mayor of Boston, I guess?
Yeah.
And only she was responsible, I guess.
It was a reality TV show. They couldn't break character. And she had to go to prison for murdering the mayor of Chicago.
And she's been in prison for quite a while. Like, Andrea Logan, or Annie Logan, has had a huge rise to fame. She's, like, super famous when we meet her. And David Ayerway, or Malibu Dan's dad, Slam Piece, is just getting out of jail. So she went to jail for, like, 10 years, maybe? Like, she did a bid, for sure. And came out and, like, didn't immediately try to destroy Annie Logan.
I mean, she's kind of trying to destroy her, but, like, with that amount of backstory, you'd think she would be going for murder.
Oh, yeah, she's already got a murder charge. Double jeopardy, you can't get charged twice for murder.
She probably had a pretty chill time in jail, though. Like, women jail is pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, Orange is the New Black hadn't come out yet, so everyone just thought women jail was just broads hanging out playing cards, you know, diddling fiddles and having a great time.
And it was until Orange the New Black came out, and then they were like, oh, we can act crazy in jail? Let's do that. So it kind of helped, but wholly ruined society in jail.
Absolutely. Holy Man Undercover is the cause of most of society's downfall, is what we're learning. Third pretty good joke in this movie. At the end of the date, she takes David back to her house, and she's like, hey, you could come in, and I'll list your D. And he's like, I don't really know what sex is. We only had, like, one sex ed course in school. And it cuts to, like, a flashback of, and I will give him credit for this, like, the kids are kids in the class, and David is 28-year-old David Ayer White, but that tracks with his character because he was 10 years older than he was supposed to be. So that's actually pretty good continuity there. But the
very
joke,
smart.
Very smart. Not for not having Tommy Blaze on the staff, it's a very smart movie. But the joke is the teacher to teach him about sex has, like, a big thing of paper with stick figures on it, and she, like, flips the paper so the stick figures move, and then it's like two people and the woman turns into a devil and stabs the man, and that's sex, apparently. So David's understandably confused. Oh yeah, that's called pegging, David, and you're not ready for that yet,
but you are ready to learn about it. Amish school rules, I think.
Hey, Amish,
probably in
rules.
There just having the time of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just learning about all kinds of stuff that's very practical in the real world.
probably a lot more about horse herb than you would ever learn in a regular institution.
You know, with in Joe Biden's Haiti, they don't teach you anything about horse herb in school. And how are you supposed to become a stud farmer if you can't learn about the herb?
Well, certainly not enough. I mean, you learn that you have herb and then see a big set on a stallion and then realize that they probably have herb. But that's it. You don't know about, like, headcount or, like, velocity rates or anything.
No, physics, nothing like that. It's all it's all gobbledygook to you.
It's all superficial herb news.
It's all superficial, absolutely. So then we get the spicy shot of Andrea Logan having a tan. It's like a lot of chest to show off. Hello.
Goodbye.
A lot of ribs we're seeing. Goodbye. David gets the lead role in the show that Annie's producing, which I thought was a live-action version of God, the Devil, and Bob, and I was very excited to see that play out in real time. But turns out it's not. It's a show called Dark Watch, and it's about vampires, I guess?
It's about the devil, right?
I mean, the devil is, yeah, in it, but then, like, so are vampires.
The Leon's lady is has vampire teeth, right?
Yeah, and so do all, like, everyone else in the scene except for David A.R. White. And Annie says, like, how could people not like this show? We've got sexy vampires in leather vests. I go, well, sexy is maybe a subjective, because one of those guys is just like a big fat biker in a leather vest, and your mileage may vary, and he might be sexy to you, but he wasn't to me. And if I can't sexualize these movies, what am I doing watching them?
You gotta suppress that boner. I don't know what this show is, because it's supposed to be a television show, but it's just like a single set piece where the devil just, like, says a bunch of monologues and the women look sexy.
And there's also a laugh track under it. So is it a comedy? Is it a serious show? Is it like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like, we're never shown. I want to see the finished product of Dark Watch, but we don't get it.
Yeah, we want more, mm-hmm. of course, from a David A.R. White piece. You just want to consume everything that's being brought to the table. But you only got 90 minutes, baby.
That's not enough time. Sorry, not enough time to see all of Dark Watch. I apologize.
Apology accepted.
Thank you. So the Tiffany is out of jail, a.k.a. Malibu Dan's dad's slam piece. Let's refer to her as Tiffany, because it's a lot to say Malibu Dan's dad's slam piece. So
it is.
Tiffany's out of jail. She did her time for murdering the mayor of Boston. And now, and props to Annie, she gives her a job right out of jail. Makes her the star. Well, I guess that's not true. Fred Willard makes her give her this job. So,
yeah.
Not props to Annie.
Annie Logan wants an unknown, and the compromise to get an unknown is to get a known, which is David A.R. White's father's slam piece.
Exactly, yeah. So during the press conference for the announcement of the cast of Dark Watch, Tiffany's here. It's scandalous. She's this outrageous character who keeps making cat noises. He's exhausting. But we get a setup for a great joke later where one of the reporters goes, any truth in the rumor that you're dating Bill Clinton? And kind of funny, kind of a weird, funny thing to say.
Great, great part of the film. There is a reporter in the area that has this very movable jaw. Did you see Jaw Man?
I missed Jaw Man. Tell me all about him.
Oh, Jaw Man's just sitting there, and he's moving his jaw, like, sideways, back and forth, like, four or five times.
Oh, God.
And he's got a lot of movement on that jaw. And I just screamed out, Jaw Man, Jaw Man, Jaw Man, this reporter can move his jaw.
Oh, them boys up to something. Yeah, absolutely. That guy, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but that guy's on cocaine. He's grinding his teeth. He's high as frick off coke.
I think they might have got a couple of extras from the streets, because I don't think we see him ever again. And I think this was a very good moment to highlight Jaw Man.
I don't disagree with you. I wish I would have noticed Jaw Man. I feel like I would have loved him and wanted to know everything about him, his whole backstory.
Yeah. Jawman, we love you, but we're never probably going to see you again.
I'm so sorry, Jawman. Yeah, write into us, Jawman. Let us know who you are and how your cocaine addiction is going.
If you know you're Jawman and you don't message us, that is ridiculous.
Hey, we're putting this out in the universe. If you were in a movie called Holy Man Undercover playing a character named Jawman, write into us at pureboyspod@gmail.com, or better yet, tweet at us at pureboyspodcast on Twitter.
You coward.
Fred Willard gets the great idea that David Arquette and Tiffany need to start dating so that. I don't know why.
Well, she needs to be calmed down and brought down to a normal level, and then Holy Man Undercover has to be brought up to speed.
Exactly, yeah. But they don't know. They're like, I don't think she's his type. But Brad Heller roasts them with this one. He goes, what is his type? Livestock. Got him, Brad Heller. Got him.
Jeep. Effing joke.
Got
him. Yeah.
But then, during the meeting where they say to her that she needs to date David Arquette, then we get the payoff to the Bill Clinton setup where she goes, I wouldn't date someone like him. I date basketball players, bullfighters, former presidents. I thought, all right, good payoff. Good payoff to the joke. I'll put that on. That's four good jokes. I'll give them to you.
So that means that the president flew to the prison to have sex with her.
Yeah, cheating on his wife, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
It's not like
I guess he would have been the ex-president.
Yeah, well, of course he was ex-president. Barack Hussein Obama was the president at that time.
Probably still had access to, like, Air Force One, though. So you just fly into prison, frick,
Tiffany Lyon.
David Arquette's father's slampies.
Right, Malibu dad's slampies. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could just imagine.
And then you get out of there.
I could just imagine Air Force One flying into the airport, and in the background you just hear, hey, mama, we're trying to listen to you. Beautiful.
That should have been cut between each scene. Like, why only two times?
David knew. He only had clearance to use it three times in his career. He blew two of them in this movie, and he was like, I gotta save one for Malibu Dan in nine years. I gotta save one for that. And he did.
Yeah, two for you, one for me.
That's what Gene Autry, the dead Gene Autry's estate, said to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rest in pieces.
Hey, rest in pieces. So David's hesitant, though. He doesn't want to date Tiffany because he's in love with Annie Logan.
But she's in love with cruelty and money and power.
Yeah.
So she lets him. She tells him to do it.
Yeah, go for it. Frick your way to the top, pal. That's what I did, she says. She doesn't say that.
Well, and then once he fricks his way to the top, then he can dump her and get back with Annie Logan.
Exactly, yeah. At no point in the movie do we hear the song I Love L.A. by Randy Newman, and I was very disappointed that song never came up.
I just don't think they had, like, a couple of million dollars lying around. they ran out of coke. No money's left. Mm-hmm. You can't get that song.
No, but we do get a great song in this movie. I think it's time to get to it, because I love this song.
We're going to play it too many times, so get ready.
Yeah, David is he's fantasizing about a relationship with Annie Logan, and they're on the Amish farm, and it's like this sexual dream where she's going behind a tree and she's putting on Amish clothes. So you see her legs stick out from the tree and she pulls a pair of tights on, and meanwhile, while that's happening, we get treated to this beautiful hymn.
I've fallen in love with one of your little birds. She flies even when it rains. She knows that she's in your head.
We could play this whole song and we would not get a copyright strike. I guarantee you.
Hey, which is tough because this guy deserves it.
Oh, you're talking about Long Live Logos? Yeah, absolutely. Hey Jesus by Long Live Logos? Absolutely. She knows
she's going home. I want this to wake me up in the morning.
Well, you've fallen in love with one of God's little birds.
I truly have.
Yeah, you truly have. God, I freaking love that song. They play, and I typed in the lyrics into Google, and I was just like, hey, Jesus, I've fallen in love with one of your little birds. Couldn't find anything about it. It was heartbreaking.
That song kind of got weird there at the end before you turned it off.
Yeah.
It kind of got turned a little.
Yeah, it mixes it up a little bit. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like the opening to The Office.
Okay. Little flowers. All right. That's very cool.
Sure. She loves when you rain on her.
We can cut out as much of this as we want, but I think we should listen to the whole
song. Did you speed it up?
Nope. That's the song.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's Get It Together, Long Live Logos. No wonder your album Mundus Volt Deceppi didn't take off and set the charts on fire.
This song could have been great.
I mean, it's mostly great.
Yeah, but they need to cut out the chaff.
Yeah, someone needs to tell them to tighten it up. Oh, wait. Oh, okay, no, this crap. All right.
We need a Tommy Blaze.
We can cut out as much of this as we want.
No, I think this is a leave-in. This is one of our famous leave-ins.
This is a famous leave-in. All right, here we go. Like I said, we are not going to get a copyright strike for this. We just play the whole song in its entirety.
It also sounds like 10 different songs.
Oh. Yuck. Yuck. Was there anything else other than little girls? Oh, wait, yeah. The great lyrics here.
Hey, Jesus, I won't take any more of your time. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay, that's good.
I think we should have gone to the end, but that was good.
For everything.
I won't take up any more of your time. I just wanted to let you know.
Baby making.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, Christian baby making.
Yeah, this is the night of your wedding type stuff.
Oh, this is first dance material right here with your beautiful bride.
Yeah, enter, enter, enter. Everybody's just screaming, enter.
Take the sex torch and enter.
Enter.
Hey, Jesus, I've fallen in love with one of your little birds. Hey, Jesus, I don't want to take up any more time. I just want to let you know.
That has to be the ending song for this episode.
Ah, does it? We just listen. I also closed it, so it won't be the ending song to this episode.
I want to listen to it again and talk over it.
Listen to it at your own time, then. We already listened to most of it. Hey, Jesus.
All right.
Hey, Jesus.
Hey.
Fall in love with one of your little flowers.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool, yeah.
But birds...
One of your little birds. Loved it.
Or girl. Ugh.
It's a great song by a great band. Long Live Logos or whatever the hell I said it was called. But hey,
that could have got them an Oscar if they just tightened.
That's the thing. Why wasn't this movie presented to the Academy? Could have been.
It might have been. But they didn't get to that part in the movie.
We've seen enough. We've seen enough. We've already heard Mama, Wish I Was New You twice. Yeah. So what more do we need? We're nominating that song for Best Original Song in a Motion Picture.
If they made it a little longer, they could have heard this song and it would have been nominated for Best Song.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But nope, couldn't do it. Sorry. So David is being corrupted by Tiffany. She's like, he tells her that he's in love with Annie, so she's using that against him. But the big thing is, she gets him to have a drink at the club. And did you catch that he line for line quotes Run On in this scene?
No! It sounded familiar, but my brain didn't put 2 and 8 together.
So the voiceover, when David's drinking his Long Island iced tea, because that's the drink that he pops his cherry with, he says, "There's nothing inherently wrong with alcohol. The Lord's first miracle was turning water into wine." That is line for line what he says in Run On. Very proud of him for that.
Yeah, a line so good it echoes through eternity.
As we're learning from watching these movies, they're all like poetry. They all rhyme. You just recycle the same beats and lines and music and ideas and actors, and you just change their hats and shirts, and then it's a new thing, and it's a beautiful sight to behold.
They take the melange of society and pop culture from the past, and they just cram it in and make it a entertainment joy.
Turn it into a true cram jam, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So And he finds out that David wakes up the night after drinking one Long Island iced tea in Tiffany's bed. And he's like, I totally smashed Tiffany, I guess. And he's very upset about it. And he tells Annie about it. And her response is, well, you're fired from the show then. Which, very professional of her.
And really reminiscent of him getting punched in the face and then getting fired from his show.
Punched in the face? And, oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I was confused for a second there. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah,
by the Smokey Bandit himself.
By Mr. Smokey Bandit, yeah, absolutely. He got dummied by him, but again, both very professional, so...
Just got taken his career right from under his feet. It's over in an instant.
Yeah, and then he loses everything. He was racking up debt on credit cards, and so they come and they take everything from his uncle's house for some reason. His uncle's going to be pissed when he gets out of jail and finds out all his guns are gone.
He's got beef. He's never going to be alone again.
That's true. Beef is his roommate. This big... I thought it was Earthquake when I first saw him, and I got very excited. And I was like, oh, did they get Earthquake for this movie? But they didn't. That might not even be his name. I don't know if...
You talking about Landfill?
Is his name Landfill?
Maybe.
I know he's on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I don't remember if his name is Earthquake on there or if his name in real life is Earthquake. I can't remember which is true anymore.
I think it's Landfill.
I hope it is. That's a great name.
Yeah. Jawman,
then boys up to something. He's no Bruce, I'll tell you that much.
He really isn't, but he has enough. He has enough testosterone in him to say beef. It's what's for dinner, and everybody laughs.
I mean, that's pretty funny, but he's like, my name is Beef, and it's what's for dinner. And then he makes David hold a lit candle while the lights shut off, and you go, well, I guess things are changing for you, Uncle Brian.
Prison rape was very funny back then.
Oh, yeah, man. Was there anything funnier in the early 2000s than a man being raped? I can't think of anything funnier back then. Or a man being gay. Imagine that. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but to put it in a Christian film in 2010, that was pretty racy, too.
Absolutely. I bet that's why this movie wasn't the success that God Is Not Dead was, because... there's too many racy jokes. He walks the line and maybe steps over it a couple times for his intended audience. And but he learned. You know, you make a couple mistakes in your early years. You learn from those mistakes. You tighten up the movies. You get Tommy Blaze on the staff to cut that kind of garbage out of there, punch those scripts up, and then you're making hits.
Yeah, you want to push the boundaries when you're a young comedian. You want to almost make the audience hate you a little bit so that they learn a lesson. But then you learn you got to just button it up and fly straight. And that's how you make real money.
Absolutely. You made real Christian money. You get your net worth up to $2 million like your David A.R. White.
Oh, he probably has a pool and a maid, a pregnant maid.
Oh, who he can't. He responds to that pregnant, like Annie Logan's pregnant maid, as if he's never seen a pregnant woman before. But it's like, bruh, you were sucking on your mom's boobies until you were like 20. So what do you mean you've never seen a pregnant woman before?
That's all the Amish be doing is getting pregnant.
Yeah, bruh. You're freaking your cousins. You're knocking them up. That's life on the farm.
Oh, I wish I could be an Amish wife. What a life.
Yeah, you can be. What would your first act as an Amish wife be?
I'd probably make cinnamon rolls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I got all day.
Exactly. Hey, I just looked up what the Tim Allen Kirstie Alley movie was where they're Amish, and it's For Richer or Poorer. That's what it's called.
Ooh, good title.
Throw that on the pile for Amish Month.
Yeah, 2028 Amish Month.
Mm-hmm. So the devil gets recast on Dark Watch, played by John Schneider. Again, what was the movie he was in that we watched, the horse movie?
Switched, he was in, for sure.
He was in Switched, yeah, absolutely. He was great in Switched. He was nailing Denise Richards in that movie. I don't think he can get much better than that.
He was the best in Switched. Him and Denise Richards should just be a couple, I think.
I agree, yeah. But fortunately, he's like they refer to him as Bo Duke, which I guess is fine. It's a little lazy, but it's fine.
From the Duke Boys.
From the Duke Boys. But the one thing they do let him showcase in this movie is his country music prowess. And I say this sincerely, I don't mind John Schneider's country music. I've listened to a lot of it because of this show, and I honestly kind of enjoy it. I think he's a good singer, he's got a good voice, and he makes some pretty decent country songs. He put out a whole album about trucking, which is great, and it was a hilarious album. So, John Schneider, you're a great country artist, and we love you.
And we love that you're supporting the truckers of all stars and stripes.
Anyway... and also he says he's got this great line as the devil where he looks into the camera and he goes, "Hey, there's no need to believe in the devil because the devil believes in you." And that's like a bad thing, I guess, when I'm like, "Hey, big ups to the devil for believing in me. God doesn't believe in me. God wants me to believe in him, but the devil believes in me." And I can appreciate that. It's nice to have support in your life.
Well, he gave us free will. He believes in us. He wants us to be released from the tyranny of God that he presents mm-hmm. in his slavery of humankind. But he's the bad guy.
I guess, yeah, because he's too sexy. A.K.A. John Schneider, yeah.
Yeah, he loves to have too much sexy.
Exactly. So David loses everything. He gets a job as a hot dog. He's,
at a burger joint.
Yeah, at a place called, that they call Stuffy Puff. Or Stuffy Pup, but it's not what the place is called. It's called, like, Burgers and Such or some crap. I don't know what it is, but I guarantee they didn't get the rights to that place. They just filmed David in front of it, and were like, let's film until they kick us out. That'll work.
Well, they put all the money into the hot dog suit, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a really good hot dog costume. But David realizes that, like, oh, he just needs to let the Lord into his heart. And so, hey, listeners, remember earlier when I said, remember that thing about the crazy person screaming about God and how they made fun of him?
David, I forgot.
David becomes that. He starts running into the street screaming, Jesus loves you! Jesus loves LA! Jesus loves everybody! And he becomes that crazy guy on the street. And that scene is like a heroic moment for him where it's like, you're back, David. But it's like he's the same as that other guy they made fun of earlier. So what's the message here, movie?
Well, it's all swings and roundabouts. As long as you're clothed and shouting the word of the Lord, you're fine.
You're
but
fine.
As long as you use signs for clothing, you're done. And you're not European at all.
No, and you know what? A hot dog doesn't count as clothing either, because he's wearing clothing under that hot dog.
You think?
Well, you can see it. You can see his white t-shirt and jeans that he's wearing.
It's too hot for that, I think.
I would think so. Yeah, wear shorts at least, like little booty shorts or something. God, I would love to see David Arrowhite in some booty shorts.
Oh my God. How do we even go there anymore?
How do we not get a job with him when we say things like that?
We could rub his feet all day.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there's two of us. There's 2 feet. There you go.
Yeah.
4 hands, 2
That's
feet.
That's an in.
That's an in, yep.
And a little bit of cocaine. Never.
Hey. So, Andrea Logan sees this on the news, and Chuck is like, this is your fault, just so you know. You pushed him to this point. You made him be in the show. He didn't want to act. He wanted to spread God's love. You made him act. You made him date Tiffany, which then corrupted him and made him go crazy. So this is your fault. So Andrea goes to jail to bail him out again.
Yeah, the woman's fault, and it is this time. Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, crap, yeah. But then she gets to jail and he goes, no, it's not. It's my fault. I chose to do those things. I love you. I love you. We love you. They kiss and then they're in love.
Do you think the jail scene had any green screen whatsoever? It was just like it was a practical set with bad lighting, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Well, it must have been because then like Tiffany bursts into the jail. But there's like she comes out of a room that's filled with smoke.
Yeah, she was getting blazed.
I get her and 2 cops come out of that room, and they're just red-eyed, and the room is filled with smoke. Where did that come from? Why is that? Like, I don't understand what that's supposed to mean. If we ever get to meet David Arrowhite in real life, that's the first thing I'm going to ask him is...
Can I rub your feet?
Yeah, right. Second thing, what's up with that smoke at the end of Holy Man Undercover when Tiffany comes into the jail?
Please tell us.
Tell us, and we'll hound him and hound him and hound him about it until we get a classic David Arrowhite. Come on, guys! That'd be great.
And then we could just melt into each other's arms and float up to heaven.
Exactly.
Again.
Exactly, yeah. Back up to heaven, yeah.
Yeah. We in heaven!
We find out that David didn't actually have sex with Tiffany. She tricked him and lied to him. And
That was a trick. Yep. It was a trick sex.
So Annie fights her, and I bet David, like, totally busts to that catfight scene. His wife and his dad slam piece fighting each other? What's hotter than that?
I think out of the 15 days of shooting, that scene probably took them 5 days. Because they just couldn't help themselves but watching and get more cuts.
It really bummed me out that he didn't have sex with Tiffany, because him and Bill Clinton were almost Eskimo brothers. They were like so close. He was 1 degree of separation from Bill Clinton, and then that was washed away, and it, too bad.
Yeah, like maybe that's the next step to you being on Air Force One, going to Haiti or something.
Exactly. So they get married. Dan and Holiday Sinclair get married in Amish country. And then, because you got to have a happy ending, they turn that into a reality show called The Amish Factor, where Tiffany is trying to bang 10 different Amish dudes. It seems like the Amish wouldn't allow that to happen. Like, they would, like, to bring a film crew in to film, like, then to give up these 10 Amish men to be on a television show where they're trying to rail this supermodel. It'd be a tough sell for the Amish community, I would imagine.
And you think after Tiffany and their relationship kind of shatters, and she's already been framed for murder by a reality show that was done by them, that she wouldn't want to have anything to do with them for the rest of her life.
Yeah, she certainly wouldn't want to be the star of another reality dating show with them, where she's like,
"Yeah,
what, at the end of this show, am I going to have to dissect a cow, and then it turns out it's the mayor of Boston again, and I've murdered the mayor of Boston twice? I guess that's fine. I can't be charged for the same crime twice, so double jeopardy. I'm free to go, baby."
But every day you would be like that. You'd be looking around corners all the time, like, are you trying to frame me for murder again? What the hell?
Right. Especially the closer you got to the finale, you'd be like, oh my god, when does the frame job come in? When am I gonna murder somebody? I signed on to this show to murder someone. When is it gonna happen?
Is this the real script? Where's the one where I murder someone? Show me the real script.
Are these real Amish men? Are they? am I gonna have to murder these men too?
Do a dime again for you guys.
Hey Steve, what did you think of Holy Man Undercover?
I loved Beef. Everything else kind of sucked, but I loved the connections to the David A.R. White world and the universe that we've created over this past year, or have been able to witness in the past year, was just absolutely amazing. It really made this watch something. For that, I'm ever grateful for this show and PureFlix Media.
I agree. I am so grateful for PureFlix and for David A.R. White and for this podcast. It's a really fun show, and I guess I'm being sincere at the end here for some reason, but it is a lot of fun to do this show and to watch these movies, and like you said, to watch this universe develop. And you know, I've seen people review this movie before on YouTube or, like, you know, whatever, and everyone dumps on it, but, like, fair. It's not a very well-made movie. It's poorly acted. The story doesn't make any sense. Like, I get why you'd criticize the hell out of this movie, which we also did. But we have such a deeper understanding of it that I really enjoy any time we get another piece in this puzzle. And I'm going to be sad when it's all done and we don't have any more pieces. Luckily, there's so many more movies featuring all of these people that we get to explore in the future here. So don't worry, listeners. Have no fear. We've got stories for years.
This was a huge piece of the puzzle, and I feel like it's hitting us at the right time, and I, like you, am very much looking forward to getting more of this world and seeing where it takes us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be on top of the mountain someday.
Oh, one day there will be a picture of us with David A.R. White, and you better believe the caption of that picture is going to be, "Oh, David asked us to take this picture with him." Mm-hmm.
We love you, David A.R. White,
yeah.
And we can't wish you enough success and to get back with Andrea Logan right quick.
Really cold-blooded at the end there. I love you.
I love you.
We love you.
the P.
Hey, Jesus, I've fallen in love with one of
my wishes have been granted.
Did you think I wasn't going to play this song for you? I love you. Of course I'm going to play some Hey, Jesus by Long Live Logos to end this show.
Hey, I love you, and hey, Jesus.
Hey, Jesus.
I've fallen in love with a perfect co-host.
I brought up a different posting of this song, and Long Live Logos is an ugly band from the looks of it. They're a couple of grunts.
They're just not well kept.
No, they're just like real jabronis from the looks of it, if I'm being honest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Good on them.
Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to clean your
bed.
But I'm excited to listen to more of their stuff. I'm excited to really dig into the Long Live Logos discography and see what they're all about.
Yeah, we should probably make a documentary series. Like a... What happened?
This is the song.
This is like their fish break.
Hey, as a guy on ecstasy, you must be loving this jam session.
Yeah, I'm rolling and I'm loving it.
Rolling in the deep, I love it.
Is that what you do before fish though? Take a bunch of ecstasy?
Or something. Bun some weed, drop some Sid, I don't know. Get messed up, worse than my life is. Hey, I'm on the mend from COVID. I'm doing better now.
You're better now. You're not intubated.
No, nah, we sucked that tube right out. I swallowed
it. Oh, nice.
It. They shoved that tube in, I swallowed it. They're like, give that back. I went, you can get it in 12 hours.
Well.
Have to pause to hear, what's it, what have you fallen in love with this time, Long Live Logos?
Which girl's thing?
Here we go. My favorite part of the song.
Tree Man.
Hey, Jesus, I won't take any more of your time. I just wanted to let you know. Thank you for everything.
Any more of your time.
I just wanted to let you know. Just cram all the lyrics in you want. Whatever.
Thank you for everything.
This is our credit scene from now on, I think. I think we should do this every episode. Credit song, baby.
Credit song, baby. Beautiful. Hey, here's to... 52 more episodes. Stay tuned next
Hell
week.
Yeah.
We've got a real treat.
Mustard Man.